Welcome, everybody, back to another Tech Doctor podcast. I am Robert the Tech Doctor, and good morning to you, Allison. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Although my neighbors are inventing Disneyland in their front yard, it sounds like.
Oh, so my goodness. Well, that sounds interesting.
We might hear some kids and, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe elephants or something before it's all
over.
But hopefully it won't interfere too much with this quiet, pristine recording that we're after here. We shall see. Well, today we are going to explore a new app that I learned about reading one of the blogs a few weeks ago. And when I read about it, I thought, wow, it's like Instapaper except for your browser. No accident, it's called InstaBrowser, but it's intended to let you get the best of information from your browser, loading pages quickly and then displaying the text of articles in a manner that makes it easy to read on a small screen. And so I immediately contacted the developer and asked him, was the app compatible with VoiceOver? And he wrote me back and said no, that it wasn't, and that he was a bit surprised that a blind person would want to use his app because he assumed that Safari probably already did all that. But I explained no, that Safari maybe does some of that in terms of its rendering of web pages for VoiceOver, but having the ability to have a quickly loaded, stripped down page with just the pertinent information is really helpful to VoiceOver users. So turned out that he said he would look into it, and less than 2 weeks later I had another email from this developer in my mailbox saying that the app was now VoiceOver compatible. And we're really fortunate to have that said developer, Michael Manish, on the podcast today. Welcome, Michael. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, good. If you don't mind, we like to have people that we talk with on the Tech Doctor podcast start out by telling us a little bit about you and what you do. So please just take a moment and talk to us about who you are.
My name is Michael Manish, as you mentioned. I've been doing iOS development for the last several years. I did some government contracting work. I also worked on a Delta Airlines iPhone app. And about 2 years ago, I was a big fan of Instapaper. I loved how it would mobilize articles. But it didn't help with that first step of getting to a web page in the first place. So I started a nights and weekends kind of project where I thought, I wonder how I can make a browser that kind of has that engine. And so about 6 months ago, I had gotten to a point where the app was in development, but I needed to focus on it to finish it. So I went ahead and, took time off work and just worked on finishing it and releasing it. So now you have InstaBrowser.
So really, it is sort of an addendum to the idea of Instapaper, except you don't have to wait until later to read it.
Absolutely. But I mean, most importantly, it was like something that I wanted to have exist because I kept searching the App Store for this app and I could never find it, the mobilizer browser.
So what is the advantage from your perspective of InstaBrowser over, say, using Safari?
The main one for me is speed. Because it's only downloading the HTML of the web page, no CSS, no JavaScript, unless, of course, you want it, you can cut your data use by quite a lot. If you take out images, you can even cut data use by 90, 95%. So if you're out on a slow 3G connection and you're just trying to read some text off of a web page, it's perfect for that kind of situation.
Yeah, so no matter what quality of your connection, at least in my experience with InstaBrowser so far, it loads even really large pages. I'm thinking of CNN.com, for example. It loads it really fast,
super
much faster
fast
than Safari.
Yeah. The main thing is your phone is still somewhat underpowered compared to a PC. So doing things like parsing style sheets and rendering them, it takes a lot of time. If you're doing a lot of stuff with JavaScript as well, you're going back to the server over and over again, and every one of those round trips to the server adds another few hundred milliseconds. So if you're just going once to the server and grabbing the HTML, it can cut the load time to just that one round trip, which is usually like, you know, 100 or 200 milliseconds. And then the rendering is only like maybe 9 or 10 milliseconds with Insta Browser. With something like Safari, you can be looking at, you know, more than a second for rendering all the styles. So, well,
that's really interesting to me, not to take us down.
I'm getting kind of into the technical weeds of it, but no, to me it's really interesting.
That's great. We're a technical podcast.
Yeah.
So that's perfect. You know, not to take us off Insta Browser, but I use a Braille device called a BrailleSense U2 that has a web browser built into it so that it can display information on an electronic Braille display. And they just came out with a browser that they're calling the Quick Browser. And what they've done is the Quick Browser doesn't load any JavaScript. And so that means that there are pages that it won't open. But for pages that it will open, it's really, really fast. And a lot of sites that people who are blind tend to frequent, you know, mostly text-oriented or sites that have information on them, don't require JavaScript. And I gather that Insta Browser maybe is doing something sort of similar to that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Another type of application that uses the same kind of technology, a lot of web crawlers actually do something similar. They're just looking for the content of the pages so they can index keywords. So, like, for instance, Google... Well, I think Google now probably has something more advanced, but in general, if you're using a web crawler, it's just looking at the HTML content of the page.
So Insta Browser goes out and brings back the HTML of a page, but it also creates some sort of table of contents, which lets you drill down into the page and get to a specific article. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Sure. Do you want to know all the nitty-gritty technical details?
Yeah, tell us whatever you want to say about it.
Well, basically, it goes off of what the web page's creator has decided the important information is. In HTML, they have header tags ranging from H1 to H6, depending on their level of importance, H1 being the most important. So what Insta Browser does is, as it's parsing the HTML to strip out the JavaScript, or reformat the images. It's also looking for these H1 and through H6 tags. It creates an index of them and puts in a little marker in the web page known as an anchor tag. So it creates this list, and then, of course, you can pull it up once it's done loading. And when you tap on one of those header titles, it'll go back to the web page and jump right to that anchor tag that it has injected.
So that's how you get from the table of contents to a specific article then.
Exactly.
Something happened between the time when I first contacted you and when the current version of the app became available on the App Store. It began to work with VoiceOver. What was that process all about, or what did you have to do to make the app start working with VoiceOver?
I've known about VoiceOver for a long time. I actually had the pleasure of attending a session last year at Apple's Developer Conference where they had the man in charge of their accessibility programs giving the presentation. And it was really impressive at just how excited he was about VoiceOver. I'm sure you know last year, the very beginning of the WWDC keynote included a video of a blind man walking through the forest and using his iPhone to navigate.
Oh yes, we were so thrilled when that was featured last year.
So it's a huge focus for Apple. But for me on Insta Browser, well, like you said, I didn't think that a blind user would want to use my app, so I hadn't put it in. But the difficulty in doing so is pretty low. Apple makes it really easy. If you're using their standard controls like buttons and scroll views and table views, most of it's built right in. You just have to add in labels. I did encounter one bug. There is basically what would happen was I would turn on VoiceOver and my app would crash.
Oh, that's serious.
And I would be really confused for a moment. But I found out that there's a bug with they added this really convenient way of doing tables, like the table of contents. But unfortunately, if you do it in that convenient way, VoiceOver will break and cause the app to crash. So most of my time adding VoiceOver support was fixing all my tables to go back to the old style. even with all of that, adding VoiceOver was pretty quick. It took me just a day. So I definitely recommend it to developers to just go in and spend a couple hours to do that to their apps.
If VoiceOver would have worked properly with your tables, if that bug wasn't there, sounds like it would have been much easier to do.
Oh, yeah.
I gather that was a fair amount of work to redo the tables.
Again, it was just a couple of hours. I guess it would depend on how big your app was. The other major factor in how long it takes to add VoiceOver support is how you've designed your app. When I designed InstaBrowser, my goal was to make it almost identical to Safari, but with the addition of, you know, a button that would allow you to switch between the mobilized and the original version. And one of the design paradigms over at Apple is that an app's controls should be discoverable. Some operating systems like, you know, the Windows 8 tablet, they have this kind of gesture-based system where things will be hidden until you do a specific swipe, like you swipe in from the left or the right side of the screen to reveal a menu. Apple apps in general, or rather what Apple recommends in their human interface guidelines, is that all controls are on screen. And if you want to have gesture shortcuts, you can, but the very first priority is to have things obvious and visible. And if you design your apps with that in mind, then adding VoiceOver support's very easy, because obviously when you're using VoiceOver, you're overriding all the gestures. So I would imagine for certain apps that are heavily gesture-driven, it would be more difficult.
When you use VoiceOver with your app or any app, you have to flick around the screen or touch the screen to listen to what's on the page, and then you have to interact with that information. Visually, though, you can just, I'm assuming, glance at the screen and gather a lot of information and tap on something and have that article appear. And I'm just curious, you know, whether in your testing with VoiceOver or in your adding it to your app, if you felt like it makes InstaBrowser a rather different experience for a VoiceOver user, or whether it's pretty similar to the way a sighted person would work with the app.
I think it's pretty similar. And actually, most of the features that I would like to add, but I didn't make it into, you know, the initial release, are things that would equally benefit both. Like, for instance, I think in an email with you, we were talking about how a lot of websites have all this navigation information at the top.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll open a website and it'll be like, you know, home, features, news, and there's just this long list of all of these things you can jump to. And what you want to do is skip to the most important information. So if it's the homepage of a news webpage, that might be all the articles.
Yes.
If you're already in an article, that might be the text of the article. Some websites that really have accessibility in mind will actually put in hidden links that say, you know, jump to content.
Right.
So I'm sure you're aware of those. And when I was working as a government contractor, I worked with a lot of people who were involved in 508 compliance.
Yes.
And so, you know, that was a big factor for them. And I was thinking there might be a way to do that in InstaBrowser, kind of bring in some of that parsing engine that a Read It Later service uses to figure out where the content is, and then have that be a link that appears at the top of the page. And it would equally help sighted as well as non-sighted users.
would certainly make the app more streamlined with VoiceOver, because you could jump right to the article.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. Unfortunately, that's a bit more technically complicated. So it's one of those things I've been like, well, for now, the best way to use it, both for sighted and non-sighted users, is really to use that table of contents feature. Most news websites are pretty good about labeling their articles. So if you go into an article, open up table of contents, and find that article title, and that'll take you to right around the start of the content most of the time.
As soon as I tried InstaBrowser, I texted Allison in the middle of her workday and said, you have to try this app and tell me what you think. And so when she got home, she tried it out. And this is a family-friendly podcast, so I can't quote her exact words here, but she was very excited about how fast it was loading pages and about how you were able to move around in the app. So tell us just a little bit, Allison, about your experience with InstaBrowser so far.
Well, I have to admit, as soon as I got your text, I did download it at work. I didn't play with it, but I downloaded it. And I came home, and to me, one of the most clunkiest and not always very easily loaded on many browsers sites is CNN.com. So I started it with kind of like my gold standard test of how quickly a web page could possibly load. So I went to CNN.com, hit go, and before I could even think, gee, I wonder when the page will load, it was just like, gee, I wonder when the boom.
It was already there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was crazy. It was awesome. So I've been using this browser a lot now, particularly for sites on which I'm reading a lot of articles, like Loop Insight, for example. And I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. I love the table of contents feature.
Well, you did mention that you thought you would primarily use InstaBrowser in replace of Safari.
Yeah, I really think I will, because I have not really found a site that I go to regularly on the iPhone with which it doesn't work. I do a lot more article-based browsing on the iPhone at this point, at least. And so I may be figuring out how to move Safari out of the dock and move InstaBrowser in.
Well, Michael, what about that issue in your testing? Are there a lot of pages that InstaBrowser doesn't work with, or what is the situation as far as that goes?
There are a couple websites that are almost exclusively JavaScript that it doesn't work with very well. One of the big ones is YouTube. If you try to view YouTube in a mobile browser, it's all JavaScript. All you'll get in InstaBrowser is a please enable JavaScript message. But the thing about InstaBrowser is, like, I was aware that some websites would have this, so of course there's a one-button toggle. So if you get to one of those websites that doesn't have or doesn't work without JavaScript, you can just tap the icon at the bottom of the screen to switch it back. But it's one of those unfortunate things. If a website is designed to only work with JavaScript, then there's not that much I can do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Allison, wasn't there? Weren't you having a pizza attack? And
there was pizza guys. Pizza guys doesn't work real well on any browser, I have found, unfortunately. It's a combination of accessibility issues and just general usability issues, whether you're blind or sighted. So, I tried it, and I was able to obviously show the original version of the web page, and it worked about as well in InstaBrowser as it works in any browser, which is not very well, and that's no fault of any browser. It's just the fault of the developers of that particular site.
So it didn't work at first with the mobilizer version of InstaBrowser.
It said zero HTML loaded, zero KB. So all I did was I hit show original webpage and was able to just toggle it and use it at least to some extent.
So when you toggled it, it worked, you said, about as well as it did with Safari.
About as well.
What website was that?
Pizzaguys.com.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious now.
it's a real nightmare of a website on every platform.
Well, the thing I need to know just before we move on is whether or not you actually got your pizza.
Oh, I got my pizza. Nothing stands between me and my pizza.
Excellent. Well, we had talked briefly that you know that it really might for this instance be most helpful to people to really see a little demonstration of how InstaBrowser does work with VoiceOver. Would you be willing to show us a couple sites, Allison? That
I would be happy to do so.
App switcher, InstaBrowser. Double tap to open. InstaBrowser, Heavenly Days, The Story of Fibber McGee and Molly, Bookshare, accessible books for individuals with print disabilities.
Now, before we started recording, I was mucking about on Bookshare here, and as Michael said earlier, InstaBrowser is laid out similarly to Safari, so I am going to just make sure I'm at the top here, and that's my, that gives you the webpage title.
Heavenly Days, The Story of Fibber McGee and Molly, Bookshare, address, https.
And I'm going to double tap so that it doesn't read the entire address to us. And then now we are in the address edit field, and you see here it said select all. So when you start typing a new address, it will delete what was there previously. So I am going to go to one of my very favorite websites, which is loopinsight.com, run by the incomparable Jim Dalrymple.
L, L, O, 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 P, P, button. I, V, B, J, J, delete, J, V, B, N.
Pardon my fumbling A, fingers here.
Alpha, S, S, Y, I,
if you've been there before, InstaBrowser does have kind of a recent history.
Oh, you know, I haven't discovered that yet. Thank you for letting me know.
Slash, .com, go. Table of contents, button.
Now that is how quickly, from the time that I hit the go button to the time that you heard table of contents button, that is how quickly a fairly busy web page like loopinsight.com loaded. It was less than a second.
Really fast.
Very fast. I mean, it boggles my mind every time a page loads here. So you're very conveniently placed right on the table of contents button when a page loads. However, for this first time, I just want to show that you can go up to the top and explore a page normally, like you can in Safari.
Mm-hmm. Bottom of screen, iPhone, iPad, address, HTTP, reload, button, search, Google,
and you have your lovely Google search.
Double tap to enter the loop.
Text
link,
field.
Image, home, link, infinity home, link, about, link.
And as you can see, we can move through the page in a typical fashion, if we choose to. But what I really want to show here is this table of contents button. Now, along the bottom of the screen, we have several buttons that I find it's just easier to explore to by touch, personally.
Bookmarks.
There are bookmarks.
Back. Forward.
Back.
Forward.
Forward.
Button. Selected. Toggle to original web page. Button.
Toggle to original web page.
Tabs. Button.
Tabs.
Tabs. Button. Settings. Button.
Settings.
Table of contents.
And the very last one in the bottom right-hand corner, which is nicely placed, is table of contents. Now, if we double tap that,
Microsoft slashes prices on Surface Infinity.
And we go to the top of the screen.
Table of contents. Info button. Bose Corporation. Founder passes away at age 83 Infinity.
Oh, no, I didn't know Mr. Bose died.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter last night. It's very sad.
Man, I love his headphones.
Me too. I'm wearing them right now, actually. But as
that's the best way to pay tribute.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. I'm sure the Bose family appreciates that. Right?
I'm sure they do. But as you can see, because Jim Dalrymple has done such a great job at marking up all the headers properly on this particular website, the articles display in this nice little list here, the table of contents.
About that lawyer suing Apple for his internet porn addiction.
Oh dear.
Microsoft well, says you, S, Customs Infinite, about Bose Corporation.
Let's read about Mr. Bose here. Infinity. So if I double tap this story, this link.
Bose Corporation may be a perennial favorite target of derision among audiophiles. Infinity. Heading level 2. Bose Corporation may be a perennial favorite target of derision among audiophiles, but there's no question that their products have had a profound effect on the consumer and pro audio business. You can hardly go on an airplane flight without seeing at least a few of your fellow passengers wearing Bose noise-canceling headsets. They are also standard equipment for tank crews and Air Force pilots. And Bose speakers are common sights in homes and commercial installations alike. The company's innovations have also had a profound effect on the development of automobile suspensions.
And so as you can see, it took me right to the text of the article, and if I so chose, I could have started reading with a two-finger flick down.
Right, and it would have kept reading continuously.
Yep.
So, I mean, this app works really, really well in my experience, and as you just demonstrated, with VoiceOver, and it really makes the reading of articles, which is what most of us like to do, a really smooth experience, and I just love that.
It's a breeze. It's an absolute breeze.
So good job, Michael.
Very good job, Michael.
It's really amazing to me. Like I never set out to make an app that would be awesome for blind users. I just wanted to make it awesome for, you know, sighted people. But it just so happens that the particular set of features is perfectly suited for everyone.
Well, it's so funny, you know, when I first read about InstaBrowser, I just sort of intuitively had a feeling that even if it didn't at that moment work well for VoiceOver users, that perhaps it could. And I so appreciate your responsiveness to my email. I mean, that's one of the things that I love about the Apple iOS and Mac community is so many of the developers are very responsive to accessibility issues. And even if, like you, it hadn't occurred to them, you know, for a particular app, most people are really willing to work with VoiceOver. And it's fabulous, really.
I've just found the Apple developer community just be really friendly in general. I love going to developer meetups. There are a lot of developers now I consider my friends, just because it's such a great community. I'm not sure what the factors are that make it so, but it is, and it's awesome.
Well, you know, you just don't hear about people in, at least I don't, people in the PC world, the Windows world, having this kind of community. I don't know of anybody who gets real excited about going home to spend some time with their Dell. You know, you just, it just doesn't, it's just a different feel to it in the Apple community.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the most fun parts about it. You know, we constantly talk with people on this podcast who are doing really creative and exciting things in this community. And more, I think you'll agree, Allison, we've been talking to mainstream developers who have either on purpose or almost accidentally made an app that really works great with VoiceOver.
We have, and that's awesome. And it's interesting, Michael, that you mentioned, you know, the app just naturally working for everyone. And that is thankfully a concept that has become more prevalent over the years, known as universal design. And what that basically means is that you don't design a product specifically to work for a specific population. You just design a product naturally in such a way that it will work for everyone.
Yeah, and that's really the case with InstaBrowser, as it's turned out. And
it absolutely is.
So InstaBrowser is, of course, as always, available now on the App Store. I believe the cost is $4.95, is that right?
$4.99 is the okay. Tier 5.
I just shorted you 4 cents there, $4.99. Okay, and in my opinion, it's well worth it. It's well worth the $5 price tag to get this speed and efficiency. If you're interested in reading articles on your iOS mobile device, it's something you should really give careful consideration to.
Definitely.
And Michael, are there any comments that you would like to make, maybe any contact information you'd like to leave people with, or just anything in general you'd like to leave the Tech Doctor listeners with?
The website for InstaBrowser is instabrowser.co. There is a kind of a how-to demo video, although if you're visually impaired, I'm not sure how useful it would be. Your demo is definitely better anyways.
Well, thank you.
I did watch the video demo, or in my case, I guess, listen to it, and it seemed pretty visual.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing that I like to point out is that, you know, that the button right at the bottom middle of the screen is the one that allows you to toggle back and forth. And then, of course, use the table of contents. It really helps navigating websites. So those things are kind of maybe non-obvious to someone who's looking at the app for the first time, but we covered them pretty well.
Yeah, I found it, you know, pretty easy to get up and running with InstaBrowser. I mean, I didn't really know quite what to expect, anything about it really, but just opening it, and I immediately typed in, I think, same thing Allison did, CNN.com, and in the address field, and it just started working. Then I started exploring how you could toggle between the Mobilizer version and the regular web page, and then obviously looking at the table of contents. Those are the keys, as far as I'm concerned, to successfully using it, is understanding how those things work.
Absolutely.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for taking your time to come on the podcast and talk about InstaBrowser. And Allison, thank you for doing such a great demo, showing people how this app really works.
Oh, no problem. It was fun.
Hope you all will go to the App Store and check this one out, because it's sure worth taking a critical look at. Until next time, this is Robert the Tech Doctor. I'll say so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley. Bye, everyone.